Go with me to 1 John, the 4th chapter, please. 1 John, chapter 4. We began, I guess, a couple of weeks ago on a new series. And this is our text, our main text that we're using, 1 John 4 and 1. Oh, boy. Hebrews 11 and fell out my Bible. They don't make Bibles for folks like us that use them. They need to make a heavy-duty Bible. First John 4 and 1 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits." Or that word can be translated test, or examine and test the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are going out into the world. Now see, he says spirits, then he says prophet. Why? Because it's not just that a person says they're a prophet. What spirit are they speaking by? Yeah, but it's spiritual, and I felt something. That doesn't make it God.
That's right.
Too many Christians have been too gullible, foolish, just accepting everything and not doing this. Examine it. Test it. Try it. To what end? To see if it's God or not. If it's God. Read it again. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try, test the spirits whether they're of God, because many false," not just a couple, "many false prophets are going out into the world." There's a lot of people saying a lot of things and claiming divine inspiration. A lot of people talking about their experiences and visions that they've had and revelations that they have. And even quoting scriptures. But that doesn't make it God. Do you remember the devil quoted scriptures to Jesus at the wilderness temptation? He said, verse 2, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God." Now this, there's a lot more to this than you might think at first read. This has to do, he's talking about spirits. Now he's talking about flesh. And one thing that Jesus said after he had raised from the dead, and he showed himself to his disciples, and they were marveling, they were in awe, and he said, "Touch me." Because a spirit doesn't have flesh and blood, like you see me have. So you can't touch with your hand a spirit. Amen. And so you see the contrast here, that he said, "Test the spirits, whether they're of God." And then he said, this is a significant main way that you would know that the spirit is of God. Because there is a confession, an acknowledgement, that Jesus is not just spirit. He was made flesh and dwelt among us. He goes on to say, "Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist that you heard should come, and even now already it's in the world." One thing we need to be aware of is that there is a last days. And you hear talk about it, and you know, people prior to us and even previous generations talked about it. And in the book of Peter, he talks about that people will say, "Look, everything's going on like it has from the beginning." In other words, the Lord's not coming. No, he brings up That's because human beings' perspective of time is so tiny. With the Lord, 1,000 years to him is like a day. So if he says, I'm coming soon. I'll be there in 3 days. Well, that's way too long for us in our little life down here on earth. You see what I'm saying? We need mind renewal as to time. Because we think 50 years is a long time. We think 100 years is a long time. And the Lord said, your entire life, from my perspective, is like a mist. It's like a vapor. Now you see it, now you don't. That was your 100-year life. Amen. And that's true. That's how it really is. And so you and I need to be thinking this way, even if you're not that old. How many years do you have left down here? You need to be getting ready to go. You need to be ready to go as far as being saved now. Right now, today. You do not need to play with it. Like Phyllis talked about that woman waiting until she was 101. Oh, dear me. That is the mercy of God. Is what they, do you know that they tell us that about every second or so, two people die somewhere on the planet. So there's scores of thousands leaving, you know, in a 12-hour period. And I assure you, not all those people are old. A bunch of those people are young. There's a bunch of children in there. There's a bunch of teenagers. There's a bunch of 20-year-olds and 20s and 30s and that kind of thing. And with so many of them, as they breathe their last and their spirit leaves their body, they thought, I thought I'd have more time. But I'm done. And you and I, soon and very soon, we're going to be done. If you're a believer, it's nothing to fear. Huh? It's actually something to look forward to. To depart and be with Christ is far better than being here. But don't rush it. This thing's short enough as it is. Huh? You need to find out, what are you supposed to be doing? Where are you supposed to be? What are you supposed to be doing? Who are you supposed to be helping? There's something that you're supposed to be contributing to the plan of God. Amen. And if you're not doing it, stop playing around and acting like you're going to live forever and get serious. Seek God. Pray. Fast. Seek God. Find out. Amen. Why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? Redeem the time. Don't waste year. We don't have years to waste. But what he's talking about here is spirits and testing spirits. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and 16, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, he said, rejoice evermore. Now we should take this seriously. Evermore means what? Huh? When is not evermore? Should you rejoice in the morning when you wake up? Yes. And when you get up? Yes. On, as you're getting ready to go? Yes. Should you rejoice? Yes. On your way to work? Yes. In traffic? Yes. Even if somebody acts like a dummy?
Yes.
Pulls out in front of you, does something dumb? What do you do?
Rejoice.
You rejoice and go, whoo, they didn't get me. Yes. Praise God. Huh? You rejoice. You rejoice in the noontime. You rejoice in the afternoon. You and I should be rejoicing all the time. We're not thanking God for what the enemy's doing, but we're rejoicing in our salvation, in the goodness of God, every victory, every answered prayer. We got a lot to rejoice about if we'll think right. Keep going. Pray without ceasing. Now that we talked about this in our previous series, we pray every day. I want to hear you say it out loud. I pray.
I pray.
every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
I pray.
I pray.
And that's what he means by this. You're not praying every breath. That's not what he's saying. But there's never a time in your life when you stop praying.
That's right.
And you go days and weeks and don't pray.
No, no way.
Mm-mm. This is a way of life for us. Keep going. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. If you're looking for the will of God, we just found it for you. Right here. What is that? In your pajamas. Give the, in your kitchen. Right? In your car. In every situation. Keep going. Quench not the Spirit. All these go together. Rejoicing all the time, praying all the time, giving thanks all the time is yielding to the Spirit. Can you see this? Yielding to the Holy Spirit. And he's saying then, don't quench. Now quench has to do just like if you had a little fire or a flame or something and you snuff it out. Or you throw a blanket over it or something. You smother it. Well, that in that case, the flame was trying to burn. And you didn't let it burn. You put it out. Can you quench the Spirit?
Yes, you can.
Yeah, you can. And you might think, well, how in the world could that be? The Holy Spirit is God. He's so great. How could you quench Him? Well, He's not going to force Himself on you.
Right.
You can't cause Him to stop being who He is, but you can quench what He's endeavoring to do in your life. He said, don't do that. Keep going. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Now this would be part of quenching the Spirit. And this goes right along with what we just got through reading in 1 John 4. Prophesyings is someone that is speaking by inspiration. Speaking by inspiration means there is another spirit involved. Prompting them. The Bible said in Peter that as far as this writing of the scriptures and prophecies, that holy men of old spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So the human spirit was there in the prophet, but then the Holy Spirit is moving on the prophet, and they are speaking by the Spirit's prompting and anointing and moving. That's how all of the scriptures came to be. They all came to us by inspiration through human vessels. And God still speaks that way today. Every preaching and teaching that's good and right has an element of anointing and inspiration on it. And my favorite of all when I'm teaching and preaching is when I'm speaking beyond what I know. Beyond my ability. Yeah. Beyond my preparation. And if I'm smart, I won't try to take credit for that.
Right?
Right? Because if it was beyond me, then it wasn't me. It was beyond me. And yet, you know, there's still the human element. You know, part of it could be just my idea, and the other part could be inspired of Him. And you need to discern that.
Amen.
Not just with me, but with all ministers and preachers and teachers. And the way you can do that is by the Spirit in you, Amen. The same Holy Spirit inside you, and the written word that He has inspired. You and I should examine, test, try every utterance, every revelation. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
This includes your favorite preachers.
Yes.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
No preacher, no teacher is perfect in knowledge.
Right.
Huh? All of us just know in part. Well, it's the parts you don't know that could cause you to jump to some wrong conclusion or assumption. And so if it's somebody you see on TV, if it's somebody you see in a big meeting, any church meeting, any kind of thing, don't just swallow everything somebody says. Be continually checking it. No matter how much you love people, check it. Check it against what? You check it against the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit inside you, and you check it against the written Word. And if you're not sure about it, well, just put it on the shelf. Wait till you get sure or see. So he goes on to say, keep reading. Despise not prophesying, prove all things. That's exactly the same idea that we just got through reading in 1 John 4. Prove, that's that same idea, test. Prove, test, examine all things and hold on to everything. No, just the things that you were able to prove that are good. I know this is God. This is what the Word says. And I had that same witness in my spirit. I know this is. What about the other? I don't know about that. And that's all you need to know. I don't need a reason not to do something. I need a prompting to do it. I mean, every day of my life, there's 10,000 things that's not my business. Right? More than that. There's all kind of things I don't need to make a call on. I don't need to be involved in. 24 hours is not much time. Especially when you take away the sleep time and the getting ready time and the eating time and all the other things. They're just a few hours. What am I going to spend it on? What am I going to do? I don't, you know, and I've had minister friends that have gotten perturbed with me. And they say, well, what about this new revelation? And what about this? Are you not going to get involved with this? And I say, well, no. Well, why? You don't agree? I don't have any witness about it. I don't see it. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not opposed to you. But I'm not getting on the wagon. Y'all have fun. Now, you're laughing, but this has happened multiple times with Phyllis and I. And boy, the Lord spared us. Because people got caught up in the latest new thing. And sometimes it took a few years for people to realize that it's not right. And we didn't choose not to get involved because we saw it wasn't right. We just didn't have a prompting to do it. And so we didn't pursue it. Trying and testing things. I've had people say, well, you know, why won't you do this meeting with us? Why don't you get involved? You know, I thought we were friends. And I said, well, I thought we still were. Well, why would you do the meeting? I don't need a reason to explain to you why I'm not doing it. I need a prompting. People act like this is not real, but I have a boss. I have a boss. And it's not you. I have a big boss. Right? And if I don't get it from him, I need to leave it alone. That's not to say you don't have. So I don't know what he told you, but I'm one person in one place. So I don't need a reason not to do things. I need direction to do it. A prompting to do it. A witness to do it. There's a lot of things I have thought about concerning the Scriptures and concerning revelation and doctrine and these kind of things. But unless the Lord prompts me about it, that's not what I preach. I might look at it. I might think about it. But if I'm going to preach it and teach it, I need a prompting. You know what I mean by that? Some unction. Because you don't like it with no unction. You want the unction. We all want the unction. He said to prove everything. Other translations say examine, test everything. Hold on to what's good. Examine everything careful. The Message says don't be gullible. Check out everything and keep only what's good. Praise God. Go with me to Hebrews 11 and then also 2 Corinthians 4, if you can find one more than one place. Hebrews 11 and 2 Corinthians 4. One of the frequently used and completely untrue statements that you'll hear relative to believing, you'll hear people say, well, seeing is believing. This is completely wrong. Completely wrong. Based on what believing is, it's just completely wrong. And there's so many problems with it, and we want to talk about that a little bit today. Why? Because the text said, try the what?
Spirits.
Spirits are unseen. Unseen. In Hebrews 11, verse 1, it said, now faith is... Well, I tell you what, put up the NIV. A lot of you are familiar with the King James. Let's read it a little bit differently. The NIV. Faith is being sure. Maybe I got a different NIV. There is more than one. Well, the one I'm reading says it like this. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Everybody say certain.
Certain.
Of what we do not see.
Faith
is being sure
yes.
of what we hope for.
Yes.
Certain of what we do not see. Then he says in verse 3, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. So that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. He didn't say God made it out of nothing. He made it out of things you can't see. This is mind expanding. You'll hear people say, well, if I can't see it, I don't believe in it. Well, that's being very uninformed. And if you listen to people like that, before a few hours has passed, they'll contradict themselves. Do we have that chart? I gave Devin a chart on this about the visual spectrum. Put that on the screen if we can. This is the visual spectrum of electromagnetic waves. And this is just what human beings know about. Do you see the little blue and the red? Looks like a rainbow. That's how much of the spectrum we can see. All the white on the left, we can't see that. All the white on the right, we can't see that. And this is just what human beings know about. Most of what's out here, we can't see. Most. Everybody with me? And it's interesting, what we can see is basically the colors of the rainbow. God's bow that He put in the atmosphere. We can see that. But you see what a tiny little sliver. We can't see UV rays. They're there. They have color. We just can't even see them. X-rays. Anybody ever got an X-ray? Could you see it? Did you see it when it went through you? It was there. It has color. But your eyes, my eyes can't see it. Infrared on the other side of the spectrum. A whole range of color. Well, you see the spectrum down there. How about anybody ever used a microwave? Can you see the rays going through the food that make it warm up? They're there. They're there. They have color. They have wavelength. And how about FM? Anybody ever listen to the radio? Could you see the wave coming through the air to your antenna? Yeah, but if you don't believe what you can't see, you don't believe in FM. And you should quit using microwaves because you don't believe in them. Huh? How about television? If we had the eyes to see it, this room is full of colors, wavelengths, radio signals, TV signals, telephone signals, everything. From X-ray, UV, IR, microwave, radio wave, long wave. We can't see but a tiny little fraction. Well, if we can't see all this other, how do we know there's not other things we can't see? Do you see how foolish it is to say, if I can't see it, it doesn't exist? Now, let's talk about this. Thoughts. Thoughts. If you are emphatic about it, if I can't see it, if I can't touch it, if I can't see it under a microscope or through a telescope, it doesn't exist. Then you don't believe in thoughts. You don't believe in joy. You don't believe in peace. You don't believe in love. You don't believe hate exists. Everybody with any humility and acknowledgement knows these things exist. And you can see their effect on the material realm, but you can't see them. It's exactly like what Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3. He said it's like the wind. You can see the effect. Somebody said, well, boy, did you see the wind blowing out there? You didn't see the wind blowing. You saw the trees move. You saw the leaves move. You didn't see the wind. Now, why am I talking about this? Because there is a whole realm of unseen that the Bible talks about, and a whole realm of spirits. And people tend to get in one ditch or the other about this. They either want to deny that any of these things exist, or they treat them like they are fairy tales, are imaginary, or they see a demon in every bush and under every rug, and they get weird and scared. Both of those are wrong, and it's because the enemy wants you doing anything except stopping his business. When you realize what's going on, then you realize that we are supposed believers, we are spirits. I can't see you. I see your body, but I don't see you. You're inside. Same with me. God himself, John says, is spirit. He is spirit. So when you're talking about angels, when you're talking about God, when you're talking about the Holy Spirit, if you sent a space probe and you were able to get to wherever heaven is, you couldn't see it. You still can't see it, not with these eyes. Nobody's going to discover, because you can't see it with your eyeballs. Did you see that little tiny spectrum. That's all we can see. But that's not all there is. And we're told to try the spirits. Now, that doesn't mean you should try to see spirits. People get in trouble doing that. You push too hard trying to see angels, trying to see spirits, the enemy can accommodate you. Don't do that. You don't have to see these things. We walk by faith, not by sight. So when we're talking about trying the spirits, one of the biggest things that we're doing is looking at what's happening, the effect of the influence, and asking ourselves, where did that come from? Where did those thoughts come from? Where did those feelings come from? Because what's happening is the unseen realm is influencing the seen realm. And so much of it is not God. It's evil influences. So the scripture tells us to try it and to test it. Go to John. Well, let's see. Man, this thing's growing on me. 2 Corinthians 4, go there. If I can't see it, it doesn't exist. That's laughable. That's ridiculous. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3. And again, I'm reading out of the NIV. 2 Corinthians 4, 3. If our gospel is veiled, and in the previous third chapter, he talked about a veil. They had to put a veil over Moses' face. And because of the glory that was shining, it scared them. And he said, even today, the Jewish people that don't believe in Christ the Messiah, they have a veil over their face. They can't see what's obvious to us because of this blinding, this covering. And he's saying this is happening all over the planet. If our gospel is veiled, King James says hid, it's veiled or hid to those who are perishing. People don't realize it, but when they tell you there is no God, I don't believe in all that Jesus stuff, all that raised from the dead stuff. They don't know it, but they're telling you, I'm headed to hell. I'm perishing. If something doesn't change radically, I'm lost and will be lost. So you don't want to fight with such people. You want to feel sorry for them. It's veiled to who? People who are perishing. That word means being destroyed, headed to destruction. Verse 4, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel. What happened with you and I? When we saw the truth of the gospel, when we saw our lost condition and hopeless condition without God, when we saw what Jesus did for us and how that He really is raised from the dead and the only Messiah, and we believed on Him, He opened our spectrum. He opened our visual spectrum so we could see the light of the gospel. Oh, glory to God. We've sung it for years. I was blind. But now I can see. That's literally what happened. And there are millions and millions on the planet today. They hear the gospel. They see these things, but they don't see it. They don't see it. And they really are blind to it. It's right in front of them, but they can't see it. So he goes on to say, the God of this age, is that our Father God? No. Is that Jesus? No. Who is this? This is the devil, who is a spirit. Actually, a cherubim. If you read Ezekiel and Isaiah, that's the category of spirit being he was made to be. The devil is not remotely an equal opposite to God. He is a fallen, created being. And God did not make him the devil. He created him the anointed cherub of great beauty and great ability, but the scripture says Satan himself, he perverted his own wisdom. He twisted it himself. And he fathered lying. There was no deception. Deception did not exist until the devil fathered it. And he did it out of twisting the wisdom God gave him. And he's a spirit. And those that are with him are spirits. And angels are spirits. I was reading, you know, the descriptions that God gave Moses about how to do all the tabernacle furniture, the ark, the angels. I saw on the news the other night they had this little kind of rinky-dinky looking little box with little angels about that tall on it, and they said that was like the Ark of the Covenant. I thought, no, it ain't. No, it ain't. Because if you read in the scripture, he gives dimensions. And the dimensions they gave for the cherubim, they were 15 to 20 foot tall. And the scripture says that angels are greater in power and might than us. Well, yeah, I mean, and their wingspan, each wing's about 7.5 feet, plus their body, this is a 20-25 foot wingspan. And they had their wings touched each other, covering over the Ark of the Covenant, depicting what is actually in heaven. These beings exist. People look up in the night sky and go, wonder if there's life out there. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But most of it you can't see. Not with our human eyes. Not with our material eyes. And, people that think this is the only reality that there is. No, this is reality. But this is temporary. Everything you can see and touch like this is temporary. It's on its way out. But the unseen is eternal. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says. Eternal. So this is real, but it's temporary. Keep reading. Where were we? The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ and who is the image of God. This is something you and I need to understand. There are times when you may be talking with somebody about God or about the gospel, about their need of salvation or whatever, and they are just shutting you down and acting like they can't even understand what you're saying. There are times you need to stop. Because the truth is, they can't see it. And instead of pushing this and just, aggravating them, you need to back off and pray for them. Amen. Not just right there on the spot, but on your own time. Pray for them. Come against the darkness that is blinding their eyes and their mind. And use the name of Jesus. Come on, y'all with me? And ask God to open their eyes and send laborers across their path that they will listen to. That might not be you. But then he could use you with somebody that you don't even know. Go with me to the book of John, the 14th chapter. This hasn't been real enough to us. I've seen people get upset. I've been frustrated before. Especially in times past, I think, well, why don't they see this? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Why don't they? I mean, it's plain as the nose on your face, right? I mean, there it is right there. And so are these radio waves. Huh? And UV and everything else that's in here. And angels are in here. Huh? Mine go with me everywhere I go. Everywhere, that's right. Everywhere I go. Huh? They go before me and behind me and above me and beneath me. They clear the way. They prepare the way. They prosper my way. They keep me in all my ways. That's why we keep coming back. Untouched, unscratched, unharmed. I count on them. I don't have to see them to count on. Right? I don't have to see God. The Bible said no man has seen God. We were singing about it today. The invisible God. That's scripture. The unseen God. And many don't believe in him, but he's real. Just because you can't see him doesn't mean he's not there. Everything we're looking at is what's temporary. He was around long, long time before this was around. He'll be around long, long time after this. He is the Ancient of Days. But God, you know, soon you and I will be free from the limitations of this realm. And we will see with our spirit eyes what we're talking about. Somebody says, well, I want to see it right now. Sure you do. But he requires us right now to walk by faith. Walk by faith, not by sight. And what's happening with all the billions on the planet, he's giving everybody an opportunity to believe, to see, to choose, to be faithful, to be loyal to him. And if you choose not to even believe he exists, if you choose to rebel, well, that's your choice. But then you'll be spiritually blind your whole life, and then you'll find out too late. But for those who have bowed the knee and have confessed the Lordship of Jesus, your visual spectrum has already broadened. Hallelujah. And you can see things with the eyes of your spirit that you don't see with your natural eyes. And I'm talking about revelation. You know, we say that all the time. Somebody said, do you see that? Yeah, I see that. They're not talking about that you saw something with your natural eye, but light has entered into your heart and your mind. That part of our visual spectrum should be ever expanding. Ever expanding. John 14. Jesus said, I will pray the Father. John 14, 16. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Here's another giant part of the unseen. In our text, it goes on to say, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Can you see the Holy Spirit? He's part of that unseen realm. I don't see him. But is he here?
Yes.
Can he have an effect on your being?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, a big effect. Yes, big impact. And he said, he will abide with you forever. So having been saved now, born of the Spirit and receiving the Spirit, you will never, the rest of your existence, be without him. So you will never be alone. Ever. If there wasn't another human being on the same hemisphere with you, you still would not be alone.
Amen.
Glory to God. Somebody say, he is with me.
Always.
Hallelujah. He's always. Always. Who? The Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Phyllis and I talk about all the time. You know, we're talking about The Lord gave us ideas about how to do things at the house and at the ministry and everywhere. And man, when it's a Holy Spirit idea, it works great forever. It's just wonderful. It just works. And we're talking about, man, aren't you thankful? The Lord gives you these ideas and shows you how to do things. And it's your, and He's always with you. He's with you at home. He's with you at work. He's with you at school. He's with you everywhere. He knows everything about everything and everybody. And the more we pay attention, the more we'll be led. He said, He'll abide with you forever. Even, verse 17, the Spirit of truth. Now get this. Whom what? The world what? Cannot receive. Say what? Well, see, this goes back to John 3, where the Lord told Nicodemus, you must be born again. You don't want unsaved people trying to be filled with the Holy Spirit. First of all, they can't. And if they're just trying to, yeah, there's a lot of unsaved people pursuing spiritual things. That's how you get accommodated by evil spirit, by a wrong spirit, by a familiar spirit. And the thing is, some of these spirits, they've been around here for thousands of years. They've been deceiving human beings for millennia. They're good at it. And if you don't know the Word and you don't know the Holy Spirit, you could easily be tricked.
That's right.
But if you just like what we're talking about, you go, if it ain't the Word, I ain't going. If I don't have the witness of the Spirit I know, I'm not getting involved. I'm not being a part. And listen, I hope you know this, but if you go on a vacation, you don't go to some false god temple to tour through there and experience their culture. Are you nuts? Are you crazy? There's bad spirits hang out there. Huh? And you certainly don't go through one of their cultural ceremonies where they burn incense and wave smoke around you and say, surely you're smarter than this. Huh? Do you want them stupid things following you home?
No.
So you don't do such ignorant things. Faith Life people are smarter than this. I know. You stay out of that. Stay away from that. Keep reading. He said, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. The world, what? Cannot receive Him. Why? Can't see Him. Doesn't see Him and doesn't know Him. And that's how they can talk like they talk. See, our text said that a spirit that denies the Christ and denies that He came, He was manifested in the flesh and these things, and if you hook that with other scriptures, shows disrespect to the Christ or to the Spirit, that is not of God. That is anti the Christ. And for somebody that mocks Jesus, says disrespectful and even blasphemous things about the church and God's people, these are people who can't see, who can't hear. They are spiritually, their visual spectrum, they can't even see what's there. He said, the world cannot receive because it sees Him not, neither knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and shall be in you, which is what happened after the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. Which is the case of you and I. Now, He is with me. He is in me. Hallelujah. I don't see Him, but He's there. I know He's there. He's with me always. Helps me in everything. And the more I pray, and the more I focus, and the more I look, and the more I ask, and the more I yield, the more help He will give me. Go to John 8, and I'm thinking about closing. John 8, it crossed my mind. John 8, 42. Take some time, read this entire 8th chapter, because this is a place where Jesus' conflict with the religious leaders kind of came to a head. And you can almost sense some frustration with the master. Now, I'm not saying that's the case, but maybe there's a better word to use. But Jesus said to them, and this is in the middle of it, He said, "If God were your Father, you would love me." And I think if you back up and read the whole thing, everything He's saying is just making them more mad. It's just like slapping them with a wet dishcloth. I mean, because they said, we're not born of fornication. God's our Father. He said, if God was your Father. And He's talking to the most religious people of His day. He's talking about to the religious leaders in the temple. And He's saying, if God was your Father. And the people are hearing Him. Then we're like, I always wondered about them. If God was your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. I didn't come of myself. He sent me. Keep going. Why do you not understand my speech? Jesus is... He's feeling the futility of talking to them, right? He's explained things to them. At one point, He said, I've already told you. He's telling them and telling them again. And here He says, He's basically talking to Himself. He said, why don't you understand my talk, my words? It's because you cannot hear my word. He said, you're not hearing me, are you? And you know, oftentimes He would say, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. Well, practically everybody there had some of these. And the sound waves were bouncing off. They heard a sound, and yet they're not hearing. They are not hearing. And they're seeing, but not seeing. And they're hearing, but not understanding. And so there's no comprehension. So there's no change. There's no repentance. There's no response. He says, why don't you understand my speech? It's because you cannot hear my word. And here's the thing we must understand. Why couldn't they hear it? You know why they couldn't hear it? Because of this. There were spirits doing this. And why couldn't they see it? Because there were spirits doing this. Didn't we just read that? The God of this age has done what? Has blinded the minds. Blinded the minds of them that believe not. These spiritual forces are real. That's why you can be talking to somebody and you can say, why can't you see this? It's because spiritual influences are involved that are blocking their hearing, blocking their seeing. And if they can't see it and hear it, they can't understand it. They can't believe it. They can't respond it. This is why you and I need to know things about the unseen realm. And it's why we need to find out who we are in Christ Jesus and what authority we have in that name that is above every name, that in the right situation, you and I can take authority and spirits will have to go, okay, back off. They'll have to take their hands off and back off. And if a person has a right heart, they'll go, oh, my Lord. Yes. Oh, I see it. I see it. Yes. I see it. Yes, hallelujah. Yes. Woo! Oh, somebody say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Stand up if you would. That's enough for today. Stand up on your feet. Let's give thanks and give praise to the unseen God, the invisible God. Oh, give glory. Give praise. Give thanks. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Altar workers, would you come down to the front? Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Everybody, just don't be looking around, but be focused with me just a moment. Here together in the corporate anointing, by the unction of the Spirit, I want us to take authority over the darkness blinding your loved ones, your relatives, your family members. And so you know who you're thinking about when you say this. And if you want to call their name under your breath, you can do that too. That's fine. But everybody said out loud, Father God, I believe in you completely. Though I don't see you, I believe in you. I love you. I worship you. Thank you for the authority in the mighty name of Jesus. That name above every name. At that name, every knee must bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus, the Christ, is Lord. Now every blinding spirit, blinding the minds of my relatives who don't believe, I command you to take your hands off of their eyes, off of their ears, off of their minds, in Jesus' name, so that the glorious light of the truth of the gospel may shine unto them. Give them, Lord, opening of eyes, opening of ears, opening of heart. Send laborers across their path. Those you know they will listen to. And grant them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may be delivered and recover themselves out of the trap of the devil. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! I'm prophesying now. There's a number of people are going to get some calls. You're going to get some calls. People are going to call you, and by the second sentence or so, you're going to know they've changed. Something is different about them. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Whew. Well, we don't know who's watching. We don't know who's online. We don't want anybody to leave this place lost. Everybody affirm or reaffirm your faith. Say, I confess Jesus, Lord of my life. I receive all he has done for me in his death, in his burial, in his resurrection, and his ascension. I am a believer in the Christ. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I ask you, keep believing with me on this series. How many believe we can come up a whole bunch in this? There's a lot to use the same, a lot to see, right? So keep believing with me. Pray with me about it. And there's always reasons why the Lord does these things. He's getting us ready for the next things that are happening. And like we started to say earlier, people talk about the last days, but there's soon coming a group of people where it actually is the last of the last. That's it. And for all we know, that could be us. For all we know. And in the last days, a lot of amazing things happen. There will be a lot more spiritual activity on both sides. And so you and I need to be able to discern and test and know what to shut down and give no place to, and know what, how to yield completely to the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen?
This ministry has been brought to you today free of charge by the partners of More Life Ministries and Faith Life Church. If you would like to help send this word to others at no charge, you can become a word sender today. For more information, visit our website at morelife.org.